Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to the YCLA Magazine Radio Show. I am your host, Katrina Dalway, and as always, I'm so excited to be speaking with you on today. Thank you for joining us. We have a wonderful show for you on today. We have a wonderful expert who is going to really share some really enlightening things with us as it relates to our future. It's extremely important, and so listen in, listen good, take notes, because this really is going to be an enlightening show so far as our home etiquette is concerned. And so we've got some great stuff for you, and then we'll be hearing from a professional choreographer and how she really continued to pursue her destiny and purpose. And so we've got some little things for you. But before we go any further, I want to thank you for your emails. I want you to know how much I appreciate corresponding with you on a weekly basis. And I hope that the YCLA Magazine Radio Show continues to inspire you. As you know, YCLA stands for You Can Live Again. No matter what you've gone through, you can live again. We inspire to aspire. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you our guest on today, Expert Ken Weather. Expert Ken Weather, actually, he is a retirement expert, and he can actually provide us with expertise on saving for retirement and the simple tips to saving for retirement. For many women, it's difficult, or it may be difficult, and statistics say 62% of women say they were saving for retirement. 15% said they were saving just enough, while 22% said they were barely saving. And so we need Ken to help fix us. So thank you so much for joining us on today, Ken.
Hey, Katrina. It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, you really, really have a wealth of knowledge according to your resume here. You're an asset manager. You are the author of the new book, Dear Investor, What the Hell Are You Doing? And I like real talk, so I'm loving the topic already.
Yep.
And Smart and Easy Ways to Fix the Mistakes You, Your Money. So without
right.
further
smart
ado,
easy
I'm
ways
just going to – yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, smart and easy ways to fix the mistakes you make with your money. You know, the book came out of talking to hundreds of men and women across the country over the last 25, 30 years. And I'm an investment advisor is really my title. And that's my job is to get to know my clients. And, boy, I talk to people who are on paper really smart professional people. And they just do dumb, dumb things with their money. And then I meet people who are not, you know, sophisticated apparently on paper, but they do much better with their money. So I got tired of hearing so many good people make mistakes that I said I got to put it all down into a book so people stop making the same mistakes over and over.
Well, good for you, because not many people are really willing to share. You know, you of course know you're going to get customers, but the fact that you are still able to provide us with the truth as opposed to just saying, hey, I just rather you guys come to me, for you to be able to put that in writing, still knowing that we're still going to come to you.
Well,
you know what, I
tell people, I thank you, and you know, whether I sell a bunch of books or not, that's not an issue. The book is available at Amazon.com, or you can get the Kindle version, you know, for $9.99, just $10, and you can start reading it. And I tell people, honestly, if you read the book and you take it to heart, you don't have to hire me as an investment advisor. I put everything I know after 30 years of being in the business into the book, Dear Investor, What the Hell Are You Doing? So it's really, the information is out there, and I hope in a fairly easily digested form. You know, I try to stay away from the normal jargon that a lot of books on investing have in them.
Well, that's great. And, you know, to our listening audience, you know, once again, Ken Weather is a financial advisor, and he just wrote the book, The Investor, What the Hell Are You Doing? Smart and Easy Ways to Fix the Mistakes You Make with Your Money. And you can get that on Amazon.com. So what is the most common denominator for us, the most common mistakes you see us make? Because I made six figures, and I'm like, where the hell did my money go to? What
yep.
the heck happened to? I am a serious sales executive. So but I've seen the money just fall through my hands, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened to my money? And got a son in college, got a daughter on the way to college, but still, I made enough just for me. And where did my money go?
Well, that's a common refrain, what you just said, and the book is just loaded with advice, but I'm going to tell you, if I have to narrow it down, if somebody put a gun to my head and say, give me your three best pieces of advice for people in that situation, I would say number one, save, number two, save, and number three, save some more.
Wow.
Yeah. People think they need to have the best shoes or the best shirt or the best car or the best house. Well, that's for now, and maybe you can afford it or maybe you can't, but I can tell you, as a guy who's lived 67 years, the years pass by quicker than you realize. And before you know before you know it, you say, where'd those years go and what do I have to show for it?
Well, I tell you what, this has been, and now I find myself on a budget, because my huge contract is ending, I'm working on another contract. I'm like, oh my God, and look like I have more money, because I'm pinching pennies to stay on my budget. I'm like, now why couldn't I have done that when I had this large contract? I was making all these dollar bills, like it was coming from the sky, and it's just crazy the difference in thought process here.
Yep. I'll try and make you feel a little bit better, only in the sense that, Katrina, you're not alone. There's millions of Americans just like you. Good people, smart people who just maybe never were taught. And we have great schools in America, but they really do not teach financial literacy. People don't understand the power of compounding. They don't understand how to invest in very simple things like no-load mutual funds. What I say early on in the book is smart investing is not terribly difficult once you clear away all the mistakes. So I have 20-plus chapters about here's what not to do. And then the last three chapters are what you should be doing, how to pick some good no-load mutual funds and hold on to them for years and years.
Well, I tell you what, you talk about savings, right?
Right.
Okay. So when you say savings.
I said save. It's a verb. So I want people. You have to save before you have savings. So you got to actually do it. You got to get out there and write your check to yourself first. You get that paycheck and you sit down and you say, I'm going to pay off this, pay off that. No, write your $10 or $100 or, whatever you can afford for that week or that month to yourself first. Save.
Okay. There you go. Okay.
I'm sorry for yelling at you, but I care about this stuff.
No. You're not yelling at me. I'm just by the way, I'm a sales consultant, so it's really hard to get under my skin because you got to have tough skin to be a sales consultant.
You know I'm smiling, 20, right?
20 plus years. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but okay, so check this out, Ken. Okay, so you mentioned $10. You mentioned $100. You mentioned $150, $200, right? Okay, so for a person that's making, on average, if you make $30,000, that, a person raises their eyebrows. So how, and that's, to me, one of the hardest ways to survive in this economy. So how then could a person say, would that be the $10, to our listening audience, for those that may be making the $30,000, would $10 be reasonable, or $20 or $50 per
You know
per
what's
year?
More important than the actual number? It's the habit. Because you never know what life's going to bring, and maybe you have good times ahead, maybe not so good times ahead, but if you work hard and you're smart, you can start to increase your income level, hopefully, by whatever means it is, by whatever number. But it's the habit that's more important than the actual number. So whether it is $10 a week, which is not a lot, but you try for an amount that you can live with. Because it has to be there. You have to have that rainy day fund, and then you have to save for some sort of retirement.
Amen.
Yeah.
A the men.
Easy. You know, I got some flack from my publisher when I titled the book, Dear Investor, What the Hell Are You Doing? And they said, you can't keep that title. And I said, no, I don't care what else you change in the book. I'm keeping the title because I mean it.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. And listen, we look forward to having you back on with us, Ken. So to our listening audience, please go and get this book. And he's fussing. You hear me say he's fussing about this because I'm one of those that didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to. And there's a lot of us out there. And I am telling you, you got to do this. So please go pick up Ken Weber.
Financial Weber, W-E-B-E-R, right.
W-E-B-E-R, Ken Weber, an investor, a financial investor who wrote an amazing book, Dear Investor, What the Hell Are You Doing? Smart and easy ways to fix the mistakes you make with your money.
Right.
So you can find him at Amazon.com, but find him. All right. Hey, Ken, thank you so much for joining us on today. And it was so enlightening because that habit, that speaks for itself. That's a huge statement that I'm embracing. I've learned the hard way.
Hopefully we started some people on the right path, and next time we'll talk maybe some more specifics about what you should be doing.
Oh, we will. We definitely will. Because this is something that should be an ongoing thought process. This is just the beginning. And thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, there you have it. We have expert Ken Weather, expert financial advisor, helping us help ourselves develop a positive habit for us. You know, it amazes me how we are so addicted to things that aren't good for us. You know, food, you know, things that aren't good for us, spending, you know, shopaholic or emotional spending, you know, and so Ken has provided a way out for us to have something to fall back on, and that is to improve our future. And we do that through the habit of the ability to begin to save a little bit at a time as opposed to spending it. Wouldn't you feel better knowing that you put a nice amount of money back yearly towards yourself? I think that's a healthier way to actually apply your monies, you know, as opposed to shopping for the moment and then that fad is gone. So thank you, Ken, for that. That was so, so helpful. So moving on, we are excited about our next guest. I tell you what, I love people that can just move a limb, let me tell you. So we're so excited to have New York's professional choreographer, Melissa Barak. I hope I said that right. Melissa, did I say that right?
You did.
Ah! Wonderful. Well, we're so delighted to have you on today. And just to enlighten our audience, you are one of the most sought-after dancers that turned into a professional choreographer. You've built an empire cultivating relationships with your audiences via valet through your cutting-edge dance company. And you've been featured in such publications as New York Times, Dance Magazine, and you've just done so, so much. So obviously this was a passion, and from what I see here, since the age of eight.
That's when I started taking ballet seriously, was 8 years old.
Wow. And the reason why I take this, you know, so serious, because, you know, our culture is totally different in this day and age. And trying to get them to really find themselves at an early age has become a challenge for many of our young people. From the Generation Xers to the YZ, whatever, to the millennials, really trying to find their way. And for you, fortunately, to have been able to do that is amazing. And just for our audience again, thank you so much for joining us on today. You know, the YCLA Magazine radio show stands for You Can Live Again, getting you back on your purpose. And then we provide you with expert advice from people like Melissa, who knew at an early age who she was. It allows us to really see into how we can avoid the pitfalls, you know. And so, Melissa, thank you again. And so you knew at an early age that you want to go into dance.
Yes.
And so how were you able to stay on that track, Melissa?
I just sort of followed the pathway of auditioning for summer programs, and once I got accepted by summer programs, I was dancing in those summer programs, and that's how I was able to stay in New York. I was asked to stay for the year-round program. There's sort of a formula that you follow as a dancer. You know, if you're looking to be in a ballet company at the age of 17, 18, that is the normal path. Auditioning for a summer program, getting accepted, doing that summer program, getting accepted into the year-round program, and usually it's from there that's sort of like where the companies, every major company has a school that they're affiliated with. So they kind of pluck the dancers from those year-round programs.
So now, were you already living, Melissa, in New York?
Well, I moved to New York when I was 17.
Okay.
So
you're able to stay with
those
companies.
Well, I was accepted into the year-round program at the School of American Ballet.
Uh-huh.
So I moved at 17 to become a full-time student with the school.
Okay.
And I trained
there
for 2 years before the company offered me a contract. They don't offer everybody a contract. They maybe, depending on the year, they offer, maybe they offer one contract or maybe as many as like 8 or 9. But in my case, I, as well as a few other dancers, got contracts that year. That was in 98.
It's hard in New York to stay and make a really good living, or at least a decent living. So for you to have been there just doing your art, that is truly an accomplishment, truly.
Yeah.
And so, So, in the fact that you were able to, like you said, the formula just worked itself out, and I believe it's because you honed in, again, on what you knew you were meant to do. And, and you drew those things to yourself, and this is for us, this is for so many people that, where your mind focuses on is where you go. And for you to have all of these things just come into play back to back, and then you brought the game. You weren't playing. You knew that in order for you to even get what you did receive from them, you were already prepared, you practiced, you did all the things necessary for them to want to bring you on board. And that's the other component as well, is that you made sure that you were prepared.
Yeah, I mean, still getting into the New York City Ballet, it was, a big, big switch. I mean, it was a workload and a work ethic that I was not at all accustomed to or truly prepared for. I mean, it is sort of like a sink or swim situation.
Yeah. And you better swim, because there's nothing, it's nothing under the water, see.
Yeah,
it's nothing
there. I was sinking for a bit, and then I kind of got a handle on it and was swimming.
yeah. So that's great. And so basically now you have a rock ballet school of dance. And so
no, that's not a school.
And now what age group is – hold on, let me make sure. Cutting Edge Dance Company. Excuse me, Dance Company. Oh, my. So – you all, where are you all playing at right now? Where are you all, are you all on tour or,
No, we just had a couple of performances earlier this month at the Bro stage. And so we we're a new company, and the shows that we've put on have been really successful. The last two we just did went really well, but we're also in that stage where we're still growing our audience, growing our funding. So we have hopes to do something in May of 2016, which is a little ways away, but we've, you
we'll
know,
be here tomorrow.
Again, we're new, and, you know, just the fundraising aspect. We're trying to gain more funds so we could be a little bit more consistent with a couple programs a year.
Well, that is outstanding. And for you to start a ballet company, you know, and just, you know, for our listening audience, ballet companies, whether it's dance, ballet or I don't know, hip hop or whatever, you know, you thrive. It is a business. It is truly a business. And and it's a really huge leap of faith.
Our reputation is really great. So now like it's a business. So now we need to, artistically, we've really grown and developed, you know, we're continuing to develop the brand, but in terms of artistic quality, people have been, you know, we're being talked about. There's a great buzz going around. And now in terms of the business, we're taking a little time to, you know, to set ourselves up in a way that, you know, we do continue, and not only just continue, but, you know, that we're an actual force in the dance world.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right track, and we are looking forward to seeing more of you. It's like, hey, we may see you, you know, on the Academy Awards next year. I talked to Melissa Barak and the Barak Company, you know. That stuff is real. That stuff happens, you know.
Playing
for special events. Yeah. You know, paying for majors, dancing for major special events, you know, from, Donald Trump. This is, you know, these are the things that you're going after. And I applaud you for that. You're thinking really big, and you're thinking outside of the box as well. And so, you know, we just look forward to seeing you do much more. And if someone aspires to step out on faith, what would you encourage them to do or believe or say?
If someone decided to go for a dance career?
Yeah, a dance career, or if they believe that they have, you know, a purpose in life, you know, how would you encourage them?
I mean, you know, it sounds cliche, but you have to follow your heart, and whatever you decide to put your mind and energy towards, you know, you should go into it with realistic expectations and know that it takes 150% of you to pursue anything successfully, that nothing comes easy. Success does not come easy, and it's that determination and focus and, you know, just you need those blinders. You need to just look forward, and, you know, as tough as things get, you know, you just kind of have to find it in you to keep fighting.
That's really good.
So that goes for anything. Dance career, big time, but, you know, most anything.
That's right. And I strongly believe in that. Glenn Close kind of sealed the deal for me several years ago when she said to some actors, you cannot act because you want to be a star.
Exactly.
If you want to do anything in life, it must be because of the love for what you do. And you just, you know, hit the nail on the donkey, you know. It is what it is. You have to have a love for it. And many people make the mistake of going in it, you know, the wrong way. And so thank you so much for joining us on today and enlightening us with that, because we need those reminders. We have to have those reminders because we forget.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we need the affirmations and the, hey, if she can do it, so can I, you know? And so So thanks again for joining us on today. And we certainly do look forward to watching you continue to grow, Melissa.
Cool. Thanks. Have a wonderful day.
All right. You too now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So thank you, you know, to our listening audience for listening to this beautiful soul in reference to, you know, that she aspires to do. And And it's just a testament, you know, she started the Barat Company from a passion that developed at the tender age of 8 years old. And look what's manifested from there. The love for what she does has followed her. The love for what she does has, I encourage you to create a path that will always follow you in the direction that you desire to go in life. It's very, very important. I know how it feels to go from here, from there, when really the very thing that you love is hard for you to get to, but you've got to press. You've got to press, you know, for doing it, for pursuing it. It's just so important. So many things have been misplaced because we did not really pursue the very thing, the very art that we love. So, listen, I hope you enjoyed today's show, and thank you for joining us on today. Remember that I love you, and you can live again. Join us for next week's show. We've got another great show for you. And until we meet again, love you. God bless you.